to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We're going to read verse 54 and then verses 66 through 72. And then we'll go back and spend the rest of our time on one of the most tragic stories in all the New Testament. Verse 54, Mark 14 first. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Our study of the Gospel of Mark brings us to this very sad passage. Every time I read this story, I don't know about you, but I'm reminded of how fast and how far a saint of God can fall. Now, we would say, would we not, that Peter was a great follower of Jesus, and he was always the first one to speak, and yet he fell on this occasion. And in this very tragic account of Simon Peter's fall, I find a passage of hope. I find a passage of encouragement to me. What about you? We have our moments when we relax and we fail. But there is hope and there is encouragement for us. Now, I want us today to look at this passage maybe with a little different perspective than sometimes we do. And what I want to do today is to look at this story through the lenses of God's forgiveness. We all know what Peter became, and we see here what Peter did. But he did not continue in this waywardness. I said there's hope in this passage. And I'm thankful that his story does not end failing God. And even though Peter failed God in a big way, right here on this occasion, yet he was forgiven, he was restored, and he was used of God in a powerful way. But let's look into these verses for a little while here this morning. And I hope these verses will challenge us. I hope they'll warn us, and I hope they will encourage us today. There are four things, if we have time. We may not have time to cover this as I would like, but let's see what we can do with these four ideas. First, I want us to see Peter's rejection of Christ. Second, his reasons. Third, his remorse. And fourthly, his restoration. First is rejection. It might be helpful for us right here now to set the scene. Jesus had just been arrested by the Jewish leaders here, and they were aided in his arrest by the Roman soldiers. Jesus has been taken to the palace of the high priest. And he went through the sham of a kind of a trial. And the Jewish leaders did everything they possibly could to guarantee a guilty verdict on the part of our Lord and the death sentence. They wanted away with him. They wanted him out of the way. And so when Jesus is arrested, every one of his disciples ran away. Look at verse 50, if you will, here in this passage. They all forsook him and fled. Now, rather than being too hard on them on this particular occasion, it was a stressful time, not only for our Lord, but for his disciples as well, because they knew that they also could lose their lives. And so they all fled. Oh, the weakness of human nature. The weakness of it. Now, when two of the disciples, two of them, by the way, Peter and another whom most believe to be John, though he's not identified here, when these two disciples arrived at the palace of the high priest, John, who is known to the high priest, is allowed to enter into the palace. And John goes back out and speaks to the girl who was watching the door and convinced her to let Peter in as well. By the way, when we visited Israel not too long ago, we saw that place, the house or the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, at this point, if you'll notice, John sort of disappears from the narrative, and the emphasis now is upon Peter. That brings us to our text today. Now, you can imagine that this girl did not walk up to Peter and whisper in his ear, "You're one of them, aren't you?" No. She said it with a loud voice, so everybody nearby could hear. "You are one of them." And when Peter heard her words, he immediately denied any connection with the Lord Jesus. And he gives this loud denial, as I would think of it, what? The very idea. "I don't know what you're talking about. Woman, you are crazy." And then he walks away. Verse 68. As soon as Peter made this first denial, the sound of the rooster is heard. And so Jesus had told him, you know, very clearly back earlier, that before the rooster would crow twice, Peter would deny his Lord three times at verse 30. And when Peter heard the rooster crowing, he should have walked out right then. He should have removed himself from all the danger. By the way, in this story, there are a lot of warnings. In this story, there are a lot of lessons for us to learn. And this point, Peter was not thinking about roosters, though, was he? He was just trying to deflect attention away from himself. And I can just imagine him, standing around in a sort of a nonchalant attitude, just trying to draw attention away from himself. But his attempt to hide from all of this failed. And no sooner does he walk away than another girl sees him and yells, "Yes, this is one of them," verse 69. Again, she says it loud enough to draw attention to what she was saying. Peter denied the Lord Jesus the second time. And according to Matthew's account in chapter 26, this time Peter denied the Lord with an oath. An oath. Now think about this for a moment. That means that Peter swore before God that he did not know Jesus. He might have said something like this: "I swear before God that I don't know Jesus of Nazareth. I do not know this man." What a tragedy. What a tragedy. This time Peter did not merely lie, but he sort of did a double lie, because now he denies that he had lied. So, according to Luke, when Peter was confronted by the second maid here a man also approached him and identified him as one of the Lord's disciples. So the heat is on. You see, Peter has now been recognized. The people in the courtyard are on to him. So the secret is out. His identity is clearly known. And Peter here is angry, he's confused, he's frustrated, he's embarrassed. More than anything else, he's afraid. He knows that his life is on the line. But he's left alone for a while. Luke 22:59 tells us that an hour passed. An hour passed. And by this time, surely Peter has started to relax. He might think now that, you know, the people have gathered there, have forgotten all about him. But he could not have been more wrong. So Peter is approached a third time. He's accused of being one of the Lord's disciples again, here at verse 70. This time it was his accent that really accused him. The people said, you know, your speech gives you away. You've got that Galilean accent. Sort of like you, you know, when you go up north. People will get you alone just to talk to you, so they want to hear that southern accent. Of course, we sort of feel that same way, don't we, when they come down here from up north. We'd like to hear that accent as well. So, apparently, this group was led by a relative of a man named Malchus. You remember Malchus? He was the one, the servant of the high priest, that Peter took out his sword and cut off his ear, his right ear, we're told. Of course, I think he was aiming for his head, don't you? But he got the ear. So this man, this relative, leads the delegation that approaches Peter with the third accusation. John gives more information on this. John chapter 18, verse 26. They might have said, hey, I know you. You're the man who attacked Malchus. So, you know, Peter has no out here. And when he heard the accusation, he loses all control on himself. And he begins to curse and swear. This is the same Peter who said earlier at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked, whom do men say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now he's denying all of that. You see, friends, that gives us an indication of what even good people can do. And when the Bible says that Peter began to curse and swear, it means that he invoked God as the ultimate witness to his denials. Peter is certainly on dangerous ground here, isn't he? He's fallen fast and he's fallen far. He has come to the place where he has no fear of God. Peter and his rejection. Now, look at Peter and his reason. I don't know. I'm going to kind of paraphrase this rather quickly. But here are a few of the flashing signals, signs, that served as warnings to Peter. And let us get the lesson. You know, there are flashing signals every now and then in our lives. The light is on. The signals are warning us. Sometimes we ignore them, like Peter. But look at the signals here. First of all, his self-confidence. Overconfidence, we might say. You remember when Jesus and his disciples finished the Passover meal earlier that very evening, Jesus told his men that they would all forsake him that very night. And they did. But Peter did what? He spoke up and said to Jesus, maybe the rest of them, but not me. I'll never leave you, Lord. That was said just a few hours before. So Peter evidently believed that he had reached a place in his spiritual life where failure was an impossibility. That's a dangerous place to be. Remember what Paul said? Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And we need to be reminded of that in our own spiritual lives as Christians. So never think that what happened to Peter cannot happen to you or to me. So here's another thing. Defiance. That's the second thing. Even though Peter was told very clearly by the Lord that what would happen, Peter said, not so. In other words, Jesus said, this is going to happen. Peter said, not so, Lord. In other words, he's defiant of the word of the Lord. And Jesus even quoted from an Old Testament prophecy, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, to prove that what he was saying was going to happen. And yet Peter denied it. He was defiant as he stood there in open opposition to the word of God. And verse 31 says that Peter spoke more vehemently. What that means is he actually got in the face of Jesus, as if to say, that will not be. Now here is a third flashing signal. Prayerlessness and indifference. In verses 33 through 38, Jesus went to pray in the garden. We looked at that last week. And where was Peter? He was sleeping. Rather than praying along with our Lord and for the Lord in view of what was facing him, Peter and the other two with him went to sleep, indifferent to the needs of the moment, and instead of praying, they fell asleep. Here's another flashing signal. Impulsiveness. Jesus told his men that he was going to be arrested and that it was the will of God that this happened. And when it does, Peter reacts impulsively and strikes out with his sword, cutting off the ear of Malchus. So, he was impulsive. Now, all of these things are interesting. Here's another one. Following, but following at a distance. We must give Peter some credit here. He followed, but he followed afar off, the scripture says here at verse 54. Sometimes that speaks of us. We still have a sense of following, but we're not close. We are afar off. We sort of bring up the rear. It's not a closeness with us. And then here's the number seven, bad company. While Jesus was being tried, spat upon, beaten, here, one of the disciples who was a leader among the group is warming himself by the enemy's fire. Peter's downfall was accelerated here because he found himself in the company of people who had no love for Jesus. Wrong company can affect our lives in an adverse way. So, let's all think about this. First, his rejection, and then his reason. I tell you what, I'm going to look at this part two next Sunday. And the reason is these next two points are very, very important. The third point we're going to see next week is Peter and his remorse. And then the last point, number four, we're going to look at next week is Peter and his restoration. So, I challenge every Christian in this room today, examine your own life in the light of Peter's experience. He failed because he allowed these things to live in his life. And these things can also affect us in a very adverse way. But I'm glad that there is the rest to this story. Like Paul Harvey used to say, you know, one of his programs, the rest of the story. I'm thankful that we've got these two to come. His remorse. Isn't it very special that it is said after that that rooster crowed the third time that he went out. I imagine in my mind's eye, he kind of got a private place, some place where he'd get alone away from the people, and there he cried like a baby. He wept when he reflected on what he had done. His remorse, and then the Lord's restoration, and then the rest of the story is what this great Peter became, that flaming evangelist on Pentecost, the one who opened the door of the kingdom of the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, this great servant of the Lord. And though the Bible does not give us the end of his life, there are references in history to the fact that he was crucified. But he didn't want to be crucified. He never felt he was worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus. So he was crucified upside down. That might very well be true. I don't know. But that's what history states. So we'll continue this next Sunday. Would you bow with me for just